little bit in the quarterback situation and my little AI investigations, which were fun. Sean's in Kent. Hey, Sean.
All right, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well.
Good. Just an aside, like, I can type in a question to AI and then get an answer and then 10 minutes forget part of it and try to look it up again and ask the same exact thing, and it's completely different.
Oh, so, without question.
Yeah, but you don't get to put it on the radio and have fun with it.
I'm so jealous. You mentioned Brandon Whedon and Deshaun Kizer. You know, Shador just looks like he passes the eye test. You know, he just looks like a quarterback. He looks like a better quarterback than either of those guys. And honestly, the other guy that you mentioned, I think he was so forgettable, I can't remember who it was.
Deshaun Kizer, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, who's still in the league with New Orleans.
I have no idea who that is. Yeah, I have no idea who that
he
is.
He was the second overall pick out of BYU,
Brigham Young,
The Jets.
And his mom looks just like him.
And he got his teeth kicked in with the Jets.
Oof. Okay. All right, that's all I wanted to say. Just so he just passes the eye test for me.
All right, Sean, thank you very much. That said, Brandon Whedon passed the eye test.
I mean, if your eye test was, can you throw a football through a clay pigeon? Yes.
Deshaun Kizer really passed the eye test.
Again, if your question was, does this guy look like a quarterback until he steps onto the field, and you go, ooh, you probably shouldn't be playing yet.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, that was the big issue.
Ooh, you probably shouldn't be playing yet. I cannot state this enough. I want Shador Sanders to be the starting quarterback of this team. I want to end the 25-year odyssey. I want to do all of those things. I want this to end. I am so tired of floating on a boat in the ocean hoping to find land.
I want Talen Green to be the starting quarterback of this team, and that's not happening.
I'm good with Talen. If Talen Green's the answer, fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm in for all of this. I want the odyssey to end. The problem that I have with it is the evidence that has been put in front of me of all of these guys tells me that the highest upside is probably Shador Sanders. So roll him out and let's go.
You could say the evidence calls for a mistrial.
Well, I don't have that option. I mean, what would that option be? We declare mistrial and then go talk Jimmy G out of retirement? I mean, your mistrial options went out the window when you then decided that you weren't going to be in the Kyler Murray sweepstakes.
That's correct.
So, unless
or the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes.
Or the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes or any of those other things. Like, this is your bed. You've truly made your bed this season. And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, that this is the bed you're in. Now,
I don't either, because we all know what, you know, what's ahead in 2027? Well, excuse the hiccups.
Because this is my other problem I've got with this, Jeff, is the fact that, okay, so now you're going to give it to Deshaun Watson from what Daryl Ryder is saying and opinions that we've heard along the way.
We'll find out, but I think Daryl is, I think Daryl's accurate.
But what was the second thing that came out of his brain, or out of his mouth, I should say, and to his brain?
He played Shador.
Out of his mouth. Well, yes, but the second thing that followed that was immediately, his leash will be 6 games. Well, who in the hell is going to succeed when you know you're looking at the leash of 6 games? This is the Cleveland Brown problem, is that at no point are you in this situation where you're going, here's the keys, I'm either going up with you or I'm going down with you. Your head coach isn't saying that. Now, you could say it's because your head coach is watching practice every day and is seeing that these quarterbacks are not exactly up to snuff where you want them to be, that you don't have the level of confidence to put your livelihood on the line with them.
Your head coach hasn't really said anything.
Correct. I will take this to my grave.
Don't do that.
No, this I will. No one in life is ever going to succeed unless you don't give them you don't immediately have a leash on top of them and you show them a vow of confidence. These quarterbacks are going to be in this up and down scenario until somebody in the Cleveland Browns looks them dead in the eye and says, I'm hitching my wagon to you. And if we go down, we're going down together, but you're my guy.
You mean like Hugh Jackson did to Deshaun Kizer?
And what happened? They went down, but you could flip it another way. The same way that Mike Holmgren looked at Brett Favre.
Yeah.
the same way that Matt LaFleur looked at Jordan Love. The same way
Kyle Shanahan looked at Brock Purdy.
The same way that Mike McCarthy looked at Aaron Rodgers two times. Like, there are a lot of... This is how this succeeds.
Without question.
And the Browns are going to forever be on this odyssey until you find the guy, and then your head coach looks at him, and your front office looks at them, and you go, I'm hitching my wagon to you. We will either go up, or we will go down on your arm, and your brain, and your eyes, and your ability to dictate an offense.
And if you're the Browns, the nice thing about it is, oh, that didn't work. So who are we going to take in 2027?
Exactly. Because you could point to the Seattle Seahawks as well, when they had that quarterback competition where it was Matt Flynn, it was somebody else, and Russell Wilson.
And Russell Wilson, third-round draft choice.
And I can't remember who the somebody else was. But Pete Carroll, pretty early on in that competition, once he figured out that Russ was his guy, hitched his wagon to Russ. I mean, that was a 12-year career or something along those lines that Pete Carroll had with Russ, because he hitched his wagon to him and said, you're my guy. We will go up or we will go down with you. Now, the Legion of Boom helped that cause too. So did Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, but Russ was really good in Seattle.
Right. He was very good in Seattle. And in the beginning, they put the training wheels on. Until the Cleveland Browns hitch their wagon and say, you're my guy. We go up or we go down with you and only you. You're going to be stuck in this purgatory of watching camp and going, well, this guy can't do it. Well, this guy can't do it. There's a flaw here. Here's the flaw too. And to me, I don't blame them right now, because I wouldn't hitch my wagon to either of these guys too and say, I'm going down with you. But I'll say this. If you walk out of the 2027 draft, you better hitch your wagon to that guy.
That would be your guy.
That better be the guy. Because you can't play this game anymore. Especially if you're going to trade that other pick to go get him. This should end the odyssey.
Well, we've thought that before.
This should end the odyssey.
We thought that when they drafted Baker.
This should end the odyssey.
And then they decided they wanted more.
Jeff, stop it. This should end the odyssey. I'm losing my mind. I'm floating on a boat. I've looked at nothing but water and fish for the last 26 years.
They thought it when they drafted Mike Phipps after trading Paul Warfield to get him.
I just ran out of the cave with the Cyclops.
And all of a sudden, here comes this architectural student from San Diego.
We just went by the island with the sirens.
Ryan Sipe looked pretty good.
I can't keep doing this. I can't keep sitting on this island with Charisse Theron, taking that weird flower.
What's wrong with sitting on an island with her?
You know, I thought, I'm not going to lie, that was one of those moments when watching that movie that I looked around and went, okay, maybe this isn't as believable as I want it to be. Because I don't know if I'd leave this island too. Though Anne Hathaway isn't ugly either.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway treats you pretty well too. But boy, being stuck on an island with Charisse Theron could be worse. Sorry to derail that conversation once again.
I don't have any idea about the movie you're talking about. I didn't see it. But
you're right. It's Homer's Odyssey.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I feel like we're in the midst of right now. And like, I just, at some point, they need to make a decision that isn't treading water. And they need a head coach with the intestinal fortitude to go, you're my guy.
Well, along with the agreement of the front office.
Agreed. Or even if you don't have it, the want to go out there and go, this is my guy, let's go. I mean, we're going to talk to a guy in a little bit, and Mike Morris, who did that with a guy who was bagging groceries in Canada.
Only because the other guy got hurt, though.
But notice they didn't go back.
Now, that's a fact.
Notice that guy ended up finding his way to Kansas City. So there was some level of commitment that took place. He did the same thing with a sixth-round quarterback in Mark Bulger that he developed and then hitched his wagon to. Was pretty darn good for a period of time in the NFL.
He was, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I will take to my grave this thought that you need to have everybody with the confidence to make this work, and that everybody needs to be bought in, that we're doing this. This is our guy. We are going to build everything toward him. Like, even to this point, it's driven me nuts with this quarterback competition, because now you haven't made a decision. So unless you're going to blow the dust off of some playbook in the back room that you built 3 months ago and go, here's the Deshaun Watson playbook, here's the Shedeur Sanders playbook, this playbook is going to go over here, and we're going to run with this playbook. Unless you've done that, you're really behind the eight ball on other teams that have been building playbooks for their quarterback for the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. It's a tough, tough road to be in.
And that's where they are. I wish I had more to say.
Well, it's why
that's,
this
that's
whole...
where they are. The one thing that Monken said yesterday about this being his chance and the ability to, you know, I'm not looking at the next job. This is it. That gives him the freedom, I think, Dan, even if there's a disagreement between the front office and the head coach. Well, fine. I'm playing fill in the blank. I'm not going to play the other guy. I know you want him. I'm going with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it gives him that freedom.
Yeah. I hope that ends up being the case. I really do. I hope we walk out of this and he just goes, that's my guy. Let's go. Not, well, we just got done with this competition. And while Deshaun Watson, and again, has been reported by multiple places, Deshaun Watson sounds better in the huddle and before the ball is snapped, but Shedeur Sanders plays better when the ball is snapped. So that's the world we're going to live in. Just pick one. Just pick one and go. Pick one and build. Part of developing a quarterback is having an entire organization decide to hitch their wagon and go up and down with that quarterback. You did it with Kurt Warner. You did it with Mark Bulger. Does that sound about right? Do you think that's the best thing for a quarterback is when the organization goes, you're our guy, let's go?
I think that level of trust is vital. I think without it, you're never really going to get probably the level of play out of him that you want. I just think it's at the very core of how well he's going to play in his future, whoever that quarterback is. I don't believe in this competition thing. I never have. I think it's bad. I don't know of anywhere where it's worked out at any time. I think you just need to make a decision and go with that guy and get him ready to play that first game. And if, you know, something happens, you go with number two. But I don't know how you get two quarterbacks ready to start the season. I just don't know how you do that. And there's now you've split your team too in terms of, I think this guy should be it. No, I think this guy should be the guy, and nothing good comes of it. I know guys do it all the time. I just don't believe in it.
Mike, I've said similar things because you have so many young skill position guys on the Browns. You have an offensive line that they're trying to build out of nothing. Nobody coming back who was a starter for most of the year last year. I would think it would take some extra time to get that unit all on the same page, and the quarterback is the essential part of that. No?
Yeah, no question. And like I said, it divides the team. It really does. Nobody knows who the starter is going to be, and in the locker room immediately, it's going to be split on who thinks everybody, you know, which guy should be it. And it's that same way in the community and actually in the organization. I just think it's a very difficult thing to do. Now, maybe it ends up terrific. I've never seen it be successful. Like I said, it goes back to trust. When you put all your trust in the one guy, and he's got to prove that he can't do it. And you get number two ready on the side. But, you know, get number one, all those snaps for the season is vital, in my opinion. And you miss out on all those snaps. And, you know, like I said, once that trust is given, hey, you're a guy, hey, that's it, you know, we're with you, let's go, I think is incredibly important.
So this might be a little in the weeds, Coach, so feel free to correct me where necessary. Is there a threshold you hit when you find that point? Or, I mean, for lack of better terminology, is it like love, where you just know it when you see it?
Oh, goodness gracious, Mike. The hell is this guy doing over here?
I think when you're around, it becomes very evident. You know, I think through practice, especially through spring, you know, even the first part of camp, it should be pretty clear to you, you know, who you want to play with. And I just think with Shedeur, I think he's got a chance of being a good player. I really do. He's so far behind. I know what he was taught at Colorado, which was zero. They gave him the ball and just told him to find the open guy. And to go from that to seeing and complex defenses, and he never called a play. See, everything was called from the sideline, so he never had to call a play at the line of scrimmage. And now being in the huddle and call play, everything's new. It's like he's starting all over again. And it's good. There's a learning curve for him, too. And to be behind a veteran, I think, would be of some benefit. I know he's anxious to play. I think he's going to be a good player. I really do. But perhaps Deshaun at this point is the right guy. And for a lot of reasons, I think he's got a lot to prove. And a guy that's got a lot to prove, that's got talent, can be a dangerous guy.
Mike, I want to ask you about each one of those guys individually. I'll start with Shedeur. He was a fifth-round pick, so teams overlooked him completely, you know, until the fifth round. Trent Green, who he had success with, was an eighth round pick. Mark Bulger was a sixth, as Dan mentioned. And Kurt Warner, of course, wasn't drafted at all. How did you, and how should the Browns take a guy who obviously was, you know, passed over because teams saw flaws, and turn him into a real legit NFL quarterback, because you did it multiple times?
I think it begins with, you know, just the discipline of what you do and having them operate within your system and not go off the rails, so to speak. And the problem with Deshaun Watson is that's how he played the game in Houston. A lot of the stuff was broken plays. And so having to fit into a real disciplined passing game and get things on tempo and whatnot is new for him. And then all the other things that happen with him is obvious. You know, it's going to be a distraction, but I think it's there, you know, for him to adjust to it. And he's a veteran. He's an older guy. He should be able to do that and embrace it. And I think he probably has. Shador's going to be hard because he's never been exposed to anything like that. Like I said, and I'm not exaggerating, he never called a play in a huddle at Colorado his whole time there. He never had to read a defense or had a progression to go through or any of those things. It was just flag football in the park for him. So there's a lot for him, and I know he's anxious, and I know how competitive he is, but he may be best served just to sit for a while and continue to learn this game at a different level. And I think Deshaun is a little bit in that boat, but not quite the extreme. At least he's played and played at a high level. And I think once a guy's played at the high level, then it's your job as a coach to get him to that level. If he showed it, he can do it, let's get him there.
We threw out a couple of names earlier, Coach, before you joined us. Rich Gannon started for a while and then disappeared for like 5 or 6 years with injuries and not playing very much. Geno Smith went from starting with the Jets to sitting for like 5 years and came back. How do you get it back if you're an organization? And with Deshaun, he's only played 19 games in the last 5 years, and shoulder and Achilles injuries. How do you get it back?
It's a marriage of the system and the guy coaching along with the player itself. This is a criticism of the league, but it's been true for so many years. There's just very few teams that know how to get a quarterback developed. And it's not just throw plays at him, say, you know, hear the play, figure it out, go play. There's too much of that system offense where you put a system in, you try and make the guy learn the system and just do the system and without the flexibility. And I just think that the discipline of the game has got to be taught in the very beginning, and they have to adapt to it. And if they refuse to adapt to it, if they want to go off on their own, so to speak, they'll never make it, and at least not the highest level. Those guys that I had were obviously talented enough, but they bought into what we were doing, and they gave themselves 100% over to learning it and trying to execute it and all the details that we wanted from them, and they were committed. That's number one. Number two, and the biggest thing, is they all had something to prove. They'd all been kicked to the curb at some standpoint in their lives or their career. And really, Deshaun's in that same group. He's a guy that's got the talent. He's got something to prove. He's an angry guy down and deep inside. And, you know, those are the kinds of guys that have breakout years like that.
Mike Martz joining us on the Wise Heart Right We Make It Right Call. Kyle Wright, Hotline. Joint practices starting today in Cleveland, Coach. Why have these become so important for teams?
You know, the whole idea of going against a different team, you see the same stuff every day, offensive and defensively, and you predict it. You know, it's kind of predictable how things will come out. There's nothing really different. You know, when you're putting an offensive play, the defense knows it. They go through walkthroughs for it. Now when you see somebody completely different, you don't know what to expect. Now the players have got to just react in real game type of tempo. And the tempo of the practices just changes to basically a game tempo. That's why there's so many fights and altercations, because it becomes very, very competitive. And, you know, guys are trying to make the roster and these tempers flare. But I think it's the competitive part is really good. But the other part is just seeing your guys under pressure against something that's totally different, being able to react in the right way that you want them to react to something different. And, you know, that's such a big part of this game, instead of just being robots. And you get into a bit of a groove when you practice against your own guys. You know it's going to be good and what isn't. And you see something that's different, and you can show where it doesn't count, and you can make these mistakes under pressure and correct them, is a really big deal.
Mike, you told us many times you like Kevin Stefanski's work as an offensive play caller and this play designs. I think he got a raw deal being the guy that got let go here. You know, I thought either keep both the GM and the coach, or you let them both go, whatever, and said they split it up. Todd Monken comes in. What have you thought of Todd's offensive work over his career?
I think he's excellent. I think Todd's real good, solid, and I think Kevin was too. You know, the biggest issue is going to be the relationship with that quarterback and getting him ready to play, whether that's Todd or the coordinator or the quarterback coach. And being specific, the biggest deal that's missing in quarterback play in the NFL are specifics with the quarterback. The really good teams have great guys in there that can be specific about what they're trying to do and teach them, and here's what we can expect, here's how we're going to apply this, and the reason why, and all that, instead of just running a system in there and say, well, coach, wait a minute, what if they play two men? Well, you know, make something happen, you know. I've heard that so many times in meetings, it makes me sick. You'd be shocked at how poorly the quarterback position is coached by probably half the teams in the league. You'd be dumbfounded.
Wow.
It's funny you say that, Coach, because it always makes me laugh. And Mike Marks joining us on the hotline. The amount of times that I hear the phrase, the head coach is playing quarterback when watching the NFL, with talking to people around there, it that's what popped into my head the minute you say that. How many teams do you think have it where the head coach is playing quarterback?
I think Andy does a great job with quarterbacks, probably as good as anybody. Obviously up in Seattle, they've done a great job there. There's a number of them. Now, I think the coordinator out the Chargers now is going to change the dynamics of that whole situation completely, because now the head coach will be removed of it completely, and which he needs to be. There's some real strong relationships between head coach / head coordinators in the league, and they're successful, or they will be successful because of it. That's the most critical relationship in the entire team. And it goes back to this trust thing. If you have complete trust and you show it, and you have to be careful. I've never criticized a quarterback in my life publicly ever. If I had to deal with him, it was behind closed doors, even in practice. You know, you just don't do those things. You build them up, you don't tear them down. And then if you have something negative to say, it's just like in practice, guys. If he throws a pick in practice, you don't correct him because you don't know what happened until you see the tape. You look at it and tape it and meet him one-on-one with him and say, what did you see here? Oh, that's why he did. Okay, here's what we need to look at then. And you make a change or you fix it. But you got to build them up all the time. You can't tear these guys down. You can't leave any room that you don't trust them or have complete faith in them.
Mike, is there a quarterback on a roster right now in the NFL who you don't think is, you know, might not be getting playing time, who you think is on his, if he gets a chance, will be really, really good?
It's a tough question, because I'm not as familiar with the rosters as Kyler Murray might be the biggest surprise of the league. I've always been a big fan of his. And I think now in a system, now there's a great quarterback situation right there. If you don't play quarterback, that's a place you want to be. And I think he's got a real chance that they can keep him healthy there to having a great, great year. Because as small as he is, he's so elusive and so quick. But he's a good processor. I mean, he sees things quickly and gets the ball out quick for a guy of his stature. And, you know, that relationship is so critical. I'm excited for them. I think they really got things going. The guy that I'm a big fan, of course, is Ben Johnson. I think he does as good a job as anybody in the league. And going back a little bit, you know, we're talking about Andy Reid. Now, Ben Johnson, if anybody can get that quarterback going, it's Ben. And, you know, talking to him this spring, you know, he feels he's got a long way to go, which means he's going to get there. Because he could itemize exactly what he's got to fix with his kid, and he'll get it done. I think he's as good as there is right now in offensive football, Ben Johnson.
So you've also had a lot of really good wide receivers that you've had to coach as well. Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Brandon Marshall, down the line from there. Browns have two rookie wide receivers in. What goes into developing rookie wide receivers?
Okay, they don't understand when they come in there the association with the quarterback. And the first thing we tell them is you have to play this game through the eyes of the quarterback. You have to understand where he expects you to be. We had a saying with the receivers, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and don't ever fool the quarterback. That was your golden rule. And that if you're supposed to be at 15 yards in this route, don't be at 14, don't be at 13, you be at 15. And the accountability part of it, where they can just kind of lackadaisical, if they don't think they're getting the ball like they do in college and all that sort of thing. That stuff, it gets exposed immediately in the NFL. And I think for young receivers coming in the league, the discipline of that position and playing with great energy and speed and being in good enough shape. You know, if you ask our receivers, Isaac and Torrey and Oz and all those guys, they used to tell me all the time, Wednesday and Thursday practice were brutal. The games were fun. The games were easy. And we just wore them out on Wednesday and Thursday so that physically they're prepared for Sunday. And, you know, in the fourth quarter, guys used to always tell me, God, you guys look so fast in the fourth quarter. We're in great shape. And that's how we practice, you know, and the discipline of it. And it's like the quarterback position is probably a very poorly coached position from a lot of respects because there's not a lot of discipline instilled in these guys. You know, just get open kind of a thing. You know, here's where we think you should be and the technicalities of beating men under and bracket coverage and all those things. The mental part of that thing is huge for a guy to understand all the different coverages and looks and how to beat it. You know, the releases. And I look, we'd spend 30 minutes on just a stance. Which these guys come in. Their toes, they all want to put their toes in and they want to drop their hands down and stand tall like it's cool, you know, and that's everything about that's wrong. So you have to go back and redefine how they even get in a stance, how, where they put their hands, what they do with their eyes before the ball snapped, the whole gamut. And, you know, those kids that come in, they never have to learn that stuff before.
Wow. Mike March joining us. Mike, last thought. The Browns are sitting here with a quarterback competition that I loved your thoughts on it. They don't work. They're trying to figure out who's going to be their quarterback while having assets to take a quarterback next year high in the draft. How do you handle that as a head coach, knowing that that's sitting right over there in the draft? You know you're going to probably draft a quarterback unless something weird happens, yet you have to coach this team with these quarterbacks this year.
Well, you know, you like one of those guys to step up and make it a situation where you don't need to draft a quarterback, you know. I just think, you know, one of these two guys, however they decide this thing, you get them ready and they've got to have a great year. And then, you know, and those good quarterbacks in the draft, they come from everywhere in the draft. I mean, they come from everywhere. You know, we drafted Fitzpatrick's in the seventh round. What, he played for 15 or 16 years in the league? So you find him everywhere. And, you know, so the evaluation part of that is so important. But the biggest concern is, you know, hey, whoever it is that they pick, you know, just make it so that we don't need to draft a quarterback next year, you know. Your whole focus is on getting into play at such a high level this year. And unfortunately, all that's going to depend on their offensive line. And you know, like I've told you guys before, the most important position in all football is the offensive line. If you're good in the offensive line, takes the pressure off your defense, allows you to run or throw it when you feel like you need to do it to win a game, you know. If they can get that offensive line squared away.
And he said Deshaun had some talent. Now can you get that back out of him?
Mm-hmm.
You know who Mike sounds, what Mike sounds like to me? And, you know, you've cultivated a great relationship with him, and he's a regular guest on our show, and I thank you for that because he's phenomenal. And I listen to that guy, and it's, you know, you try and ask competent football questions and just tee him up and, you know, get him going in a direction, and then he takes it from there.
Absolutely.
I loved his comment about you'd be stunned at how bad the coaching is in the NFL for the quarterback position. He said teams don't know how to coach the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Andy Reid does and Ben Johnson does. And
Kevin O'Connell, too.
And Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yep. And Mike McDaniel, now with the Chargers, as the offensive coordinator.
I want to watch that offense this year so bad.
That could be. Look out for O'Marion Hampton. He's going to be in that Miami offense that ran the ball so well.
Not to mention a guy that no receiver can overthrow his arm. Buckle in for Mike McDaniel.
Here's where Mike Martz, though, looks at Shadur. And, you know, Mike's different. Mike knows how to coach quarterbacks. He looks at Shadur and thinks something, and then looks at Deshaun and thinks, can you get that back? He had an eighth-round draft choice in Trent Green.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't their eighth-round draft choice, but he was an eighth-round draft choice when he had him. And he would have been the starting quarterback there, and then he got hurt, like last preseason game. And they put in this young guy that had to because he was the backup named Kurt Warner. And nobody knew who Kurt was. And Mike Martz knew how to coach quarterbacks. And guess what happens? Trent Green ended up becoming good.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely. With, you know, and had a fine career. But Kurt Warner goes to the Hall of Fame. And then a sixth round pick in Mark Bulger. And Mike said, you get quarterbacks, they come from everywhere. And he mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick, who they drafted in St. Louis when he was there. And he didn't have success early on in his career because he was learning. And then he ends up in Buffalo as a starter and ended up with a bunch of different teams and was very competent. Mike trusts his ability to coach a quarterback. That's why he looks at Shedeur Sanders and sees upside. And what he said about, you know, Mike's been a longtime offensive coach. He knows people. Said Shedeur never called a play. Never had to do anything except throw it to the open guy. Well, he had Travis Hunter, who wins a Heisman Trophy. That helps. So if Mike Martz were the quarterback coach here or the offensive coordinator, and nothing against anybody who is because I'm not comparing, but I think Mike would be gung-ho, and he'd be enthusiastic because this is a challenge. I think this kid has some things I can work with.
I agree. I mean, I see where Mike Martz would look at a Shedeur Sanders and say, this is ground zero.
Yep, where can I take this?
But more than anything else, he needs time. I know he needs time. I can try to do everything I can to protect this kid from getting onto the field because he needs time.
Mike basically said put him on the bench this year.
Right, he said redshirt him. He said treat him like a redshirt sophomore.
Yep.
I'm not against that idea.
Which is what they did with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Exactly. But that's also in a world where you can drop a Super Bowl ring on a table, and it kind of could quiet a lot of arguments when it comes to, we just drafted this guy, you need to play this guy, we just drafted this guy, you need to play this guy, this guy's struggling, this needs to get out there. Clank! Oh, okay, sorry, you're right. Like, it's really, really easy when you can drop that ring on the table, and all of a sudden everybody goes, oh yeah, that's right, greatest show on turf.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Like, it's the problem you're going to run into with this, because again, I think you should start Shedeur. I think you should let him go through all of the lumps that need to be. I think you should cater the offense to him. You should build the offense to him, and on top of that, add more as time goes on and he gets more fluid. Then you can expand it more and more and more and more. Almost treat it like you got training wheels on him. That's what I would do. I don't know why they're not doing that and why they're playing the Deshaun Watson game. And I don't understand it. And I know you could say to me.
But Mike just said when a quarterback had it, can you bring it back out? He sounded, and again, he's a guy who did this for a living.
Right.
He sounded like, ooh, what a challenge that would be.
It sounds like Todd Monken. It sounds the same way Todd Monken approaches it.
Well, that's kind of the point, you know, Dano? He likes Todd. He's always thought Todd's done a good job.
Yeah.
Todd's. You know, I still think Todd knows exactly who he wants to start, and I think that that's who he will start. Don't ask me who that is. But Todd has to think that, doesn't he? It's like, hey, wait a minute. Deshaun was really good. I can get that out of him. Or Shedeur has some potential, but he's so raw. I can get him there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to look at this as just an unbelievable challenge.
But we're starting to hit the point where the challenge needs to be successful. Like, you need to advance the challenge. We're getting to the point where you can't have this world where you're going, well, maybe it's this guy, but then maybe it's this guy. And we're sitting here doing the horse race thing.
You're right.
And it's like, we're done. You can't horse race this any longer.
Well, what did Mike say? Competitions are terrible.
Exactly.
And he said they don't work. He said, pick a guy and go.
I think that the two things that stood out to me with Mike Martz is that exact phrase. Competitions are terrible. Pick a guy and go. And everything he said about developing wide receivers are the two things that would stay with me if I'm the Browns.
And developing quarterbacks, in my estimation. So there were three points that I just thought, bingo, that's
right.
Gold.
Right. And so that's where this thing is. Because the longer you take this, the more the bottom can fall out of it. Because you haven't developed a playbook long enough. Or specific enough.
I just, you know, I wonder, do you have the talent here that could get coached up in a league where Mike just said, you don't, you don't coach up quarterbacks. And when I asked him about 2027, I was real curious to hear what he would say about that, you know, with that draft. And again, he immediately to me went to, I'm a quarterback coach. I know how to coach these guys. He said, get one of them so you don't have to draft a quarterback. I thought, I love that. I do. I love that. You know?
Yeah.
Forget it. Don't draft one. We just developed one. If the Browns, boy, that to me though, that would be such a gamble. If based on 1 year, let's say it's Deshaun. He comes back and plays real well. You want to bank on that moving forward and signing him up again? Shadur has a really, really good year. Young guy, really good year. You want to bank on continued development, or do you want to take? Well, you got to figure, Dan, Browns could end up in the top 10 on their own without having to move up any further.
Absolutely.
And if they're in the top 10 record-wise and you want to move up higher, you have assets to do that. And so that is a huge decision that Andrew Berry is going to have to make come draft time next year.
I would love to be in that uncomfortable of a position because that means something went right.
That's very true. Yeah, it went very right this year.